Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading Wild Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On this episode, episode number 13, I'll be sharing why you don't need to capture every moment, what happens when you don't read the fine print, why your environment is vital to your success, and I'll give you an update on two projects that I'm working on. So listen up. Part of me misses the days when everyone didn't have a camera. And I know sometimes we really don't like to hear when people from previous generations say that they remember how things were back in the day, and they always talk with a bit of nostalgia as if everything back in the day was better. And we know that's not true. It's just when we look at things retrospectively, we paint it in a much better light in many cases than it really was. But this whole camera issue thing for me, sometimes it gets a bit out of hand. Recently, I went with my daughters to a daddy-daughter dance at their school, and it was a cool little, cute little event. All the dads dressed up, all the daughters dressed up, and it was really nice, and we had dinner, and we played games, and there was music, and it was cool. I liked being there with my two daughters, sharing these moments with them and capturing these moments. And there was a photo booth and we took pictures. But I watched during the course of the evening where at one point the majority of the fathers were not looking at their daughters. They were looking at their phones, using them in camera mode. They were looking at their phones at their daughters, taking pictures and recording video. And it just struck me how there's such a desire, and the technology makes it so easy. There's such a desire for us to seemingly capture every moment. The crazy thing is that for most of us, we keep these pictures on our phone and we keep these videos on our phone, and they end up for the most part just taking up storage, and we don't really go back and look at them, or we share them or send them to one or two people, but it's just something to have and something to do, and something sometimes we feel pressured into doing because everybody else is doing it. I remember going to Disney World last spring with my family, and we stayed at Disney World the entire day, and it got down to the end of the night, and we watched the two programs at the end of the night, and during the end of the second program, it was a fireworks show. My wife's phone, either it died or it ran out of storage space. I can't remember. And she asked me, she said, babe, give me your phone. And I didn't give my wife my phone. And she was really upset with me. She said, well, if you're not going to give me your phone, at least take a picture of what's going on. And I didn't. Because I was reminded of something that gospel singer Ty Trabet said in his concert a few years ago, as people were at the concert and had their phones out. And he said, be careful of missing the moment, trying to capture the moment. Be careful of missing the moment by trying to capture the moment. And there's something, it's just a good feeling when you're telling a person a story, when the images are recalled to your memory and you're walking down memory lane and you're sharing with someone your experience. It's not quite the same when you just send a person a picture and tell them to look at it. It's different. And sometimes what happens uniquely in that moment, in that particular environment, you miss it because the environment, the feeling in the room, that intangible part of the experience can't be replicated. And you can take a video and you can take a picture, but you can't replicate that part of the experience. And I'm learning the value now of when I'm out with my family, when we're going on walks or hikes or just different events, I'm learning the value of not taking a picture, the value of just soaking it up and enjoying the experience and having the only record of this being the memory that's just lodged in my brain and the story that I can come back and tell. And you, you really need to ask yourself, how many times have you missed the moment? Have you missed the experience by trying to capture the moment for yourself? And where can you take some opportunities to put the phone away, put the camera away, and just enjoy the birthday party, enjoy the graduation, enjoy the wedding. Let the photographers do their job. Let the videographers do their job. And if it's not an experience where there's a photographer or videographer, you just soak up the moment yourself and let the memory be written on your mind and retell the story without having a picture. I know they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but sometimes you just don't need to take a picture. You need to just enjoy the moment. And I know sometimes as a leader, it's hard to enjoy the moment, right? And I just want to transition to our conversation about reading the fine print. I used to work in a women's clothing store when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. I won't name the store. I won't name the mall, but I used to work in a women's clothing store, and part of my job as a manager trainee, can't remember, man, it was like 15 years ago. Part of my job was to really support customer service. And customer service in a clothing store is unique. It's usually centered around returns, refunds, and exchanges. And when you would purchase something from this particular clothing store, on the back of the receipt, sometimes on the front, on the receipt somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but on the receipt somewhere is always these conditions, this fine print, no refunds or exchanges after 30 days. If you want a refund or exchange, you have to have your receipt. We don't exchange or refund items in which the tags have been removed. It's just these things to take into consideration. And every so often, at least once or twice a week, people would come in and ask for a refund and ask for an exchange. And I would have to tell them, well, I can't refund this because you took the tags off. Now, I know in some places people buy clothes from the clothing store. They wear them out for an event. They enjoy themselves. And then they bring the clothes back to the store because they couldn't afford to purchase the clothes in the first place. Now, I know you don't know anybody like that, but having worked in a clothing store, I know that it happens. And people would take off the tags and wear it, and you would smell it sometimes. You would smell that they were hanging out, and it just didn't have the odor of a new garment. And just arguing with people over the policy and asking them, did they read the fine print? Did they read the receipt? Do they know our return and exchange policy? It's past 30 days. You've taken off the tags. You don't even have a receipt. And having people argue with you because they really wanted to disregard the fine print. They wanted to disregard the details. And really, no matter how you feel about the policy, by choosing to purchase something from the store, you're really agreeing to abide by that particular policy. Now, how does this work for leaders? For many of us, we have not read the fine print. And for much of this leadership space, the fine print is unwritten, but it's there. It's there. We haven't read the fine print. We like the idea of being a leader. We like the idea of being in charge. We like the idea of having a family. We like the idea of being a pastor or project manager or a team leader. We like that idea, maybe for the power involved or the perception of power involved. Maybe we're battling our own esteem issues. Maybe we don't have value or we're not respected or regarded in certain areas of our lives, like our family and our social circles. But our roles, our responsibilities at work or even at church or in a nonprofit volunteering context, we get a title and we feel a bit, we feel important. But what I've been helping a lot of leaders wrestle through lately is depression and anxiety related to leadership. And the truth is, part of that depression and anxiety has come from not reading the fine print. There's a stress that comes with leadership. There's a difficulty in dealing with people. And if you're in a leadership position, there's at least one person who will not be happy with you. They will not be happy with a decision. They will not agree. And there are many times where the people who are not happy, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what's wrong or what's going on in their personal life. that they're not dealing with, that they're afraid to deal with, that they don't have the tools or resources for dealing with. So they shift their frustration to you. Now, this is not everything. Some things are really your fault. You've made a mistake. You haven't communicated well. You've made a misstep, and you have to wrestle with that. But the fine point of leadership, the fine print of leadership, is dealing with problems, is dealing with challenges, is dealing with personality conflicts, of changing culture, of getting things done. That's the fine print of leadership. And a lot of us, when we accepted our leadership roles, we were thinking about the presentations. We were thinking about sitting in the chair. We were thinking about chairing the meeting. We were thinking about having our name on the document. We were thinking about when the project was finished and they applauded us and they handed us a gift and our name was etched in stone or on some gold plate somewhere, some placard somewhere. We looked at those things. What we did not look at were the difficult moments when leadership really has to be applied. And I want to challenge you to, now that you're coming face to face with the fine print of leadership, that you don't back away. I know it's tough. I know it's frustrating. I know it's hard to deal with people sometimes. And you know this too, because you're hard to deal with. You don't always make sense. Sometimes you have irrational thoughts. Sometimes you're not as organized. You're not as tactful. You don't explain things well. And you know the frustration that people go through having to deal with you when you're in that space. And it's the same frustration that you have to go through as a leader when you're dealing with others in that space. So embrace the fine print of leadership. Embrace the fact that leadership is about solving problems. Colin Powell, a former Secretary of State, Colin Powell said that once you stop leading soldiers when they've stopped bringing their problems to you. That's a rough paraphrase. You've stopped leading your soldiers when they stop bringing their problems to you. So if you're in a leadership position and people have stopped bringing the problems to you, stopped bringing the challenges to you, stopped mentioning to you, then they're really counting on someone else for leadership. And leadership is embracing the difficulties and challenges and facing them, not just in the business context, not just in the ministry context, not just in the nonprofit context, but also in the family context. As a leader in your family, you are called to deal with the frustrations of life and help your family members deal with the frustrations of life. And that's the fine print. And if you're not up for that, then you probably shouldn't try to start a family. If you're not up for that, you shouldn't take a leadership role. If you're not up for that, don't take the responsibilities, because it's not just the regard that comes along with it, the high regard. It's also the challenges. It's also the difficulties. And good leadership demands that you embrace those fine points of the difficult aspects of leadership. So just want to speak to my leaders out there who are dealing with difficult times. You're stressed. You are dealing with anxiety. The people on your team aren't doing right. They won't work together well. The people at your church are frustrating you. The people in your group are just not responding well. Really just check how you're dealing with those individuals and continue to work at it. Culture is not just the particular environment that you're in, but culture is also shaped by how you as a leader respond to that environment. I know it's tough. I know it's rough, but we're coming down to the end of the year, and I want to challenge you to finish strong and go back and read the fine print. Speaking of environment, I have a plant in my office at the church in which I serve. Someone gave me the plant. I think it was for my birthday. I can't exactly remember when they gave me the plant, but I've had the plant for a little bit of time now. And in my office, there's a window, and I make sure to open the blinds just enough so that when the sun is up, it's shining directly on it. It's come through the window, filtered through the blinds, angled and shining on my plant. And then I put water I water the plant because plants need water and sunlight. Well, I noticed that someone had cleaned my office and they had closed the blinds. And there were some brown leaves on this plant. And I noticed that the water was a little dry and I hadn't watered it in a couple days. So I opened up the blinds again and I put water in there, because the environment for the plant is really important. If the plant does not have sunlight, if the plant does not have water, it's going to die. It's not going to be able to grow up to its fullest potential. The green qualities and characteristics of the plant will turn brown, and it won't be attractive anymore. It won't be appealing anymore. And then also the plant will be a reflection of the place that the plant is in. So I just want to challenge you to get in environments where you can get light and you can get water. I don't really have an analogy for that, but get in places. And I know jobs are tough. Responsibilities are difficult, but get in places where you can get some nourishment. I got a few groups of people who I can talk to, who I can hang out with. And for me, it's like sunshine. And for me, it's like water. I guess that's the analogy, right? I got a couple of groups of people that I can hang out with, and we can go out to eat and we can have a good time and we can talk, and I can be refreshed. I can be revitalized. I can just kind of let my hair down. I don't have a lot of hair and some of it's falling out, but I can be myself and just take a deep breath. And I really look forward to those times where I can just exhale and be okay. And you need to find places like that. You need to find spaces like that. You need to find environments like that where people are pouring into you, where people are giving you advice, where they're at least giving you encouragement, where you don't have to put on any particular hats, and you can just count to 10 and just soak it all in and take a load off. You need those particular environments. You need those environments because without those environments, you won't be able to grow. You won't be able to really live up to the potential or live up to the demands that are placed on you. Now it's not all of my office that gets this particular light. Now, when the sun is up, the light shines through the window and the office is illuminated somewhat. But the way the blinds are angled ensures that that sunlight directly hits the plant. And I'm trying to be very diligent about watering this plant. Now, the whole office doesn't get water. The whole office doesn't get sunlight in this way. It's just this plant. And how can you find places and spaces in your environment, not only where you can get sunshine and water, the places where you can be refreshed and encouraged, but how can you be sunshine and water in your environment? How can you be that voice of encouragement? How can you be that voice of counsel? How can you be a safe place, a safe space for other people? Because it's really needed. And if you're a leader listening to this, Listen, you got to find a group, find a place where you can be okay. You might have to join a group like Toastmasters or a knitting club or a kickball team or something where you can be energized and be refreshed. You got to have some self-care. You got to have some self-care. And that's a big thing for leaders. A lot of times we experience burnout. Or we do dumb stuff. We make mistakes because we're not caring for ourselves. We're worrying about everything else. Sometimes not even taking care of our families and not taking care of ourselves. And our weight slips, our mental health slips. We battle anxiety and depression. So how can you work on some self-care? And part of self-care is having a group, a space, some people where you can hang around and be yourself and take a load off. And that's my challenge to you, especially as we're coming down to the end of 2017 and shifting toward 2018, to really have some spaces where you can get some sunlight and water. Speaking of transition to the new year, I'm super excited about this guide that I just released. And you can find the guide on my blog, prcquinn.com/takeaction18. Take Action 18, prcquinn.com/takeaction18. And when you go to that URL, you will find my 2018 Leaders New Year Action Guide. My 2018 Leaders New Year Action Guide. I'll put this in the show notes so you can have the link to it. One of the things that I have struggled with before as a leader is taking action. And what I realized that if something is off, and this goes back to the environment piece, if my relationships are off, if my goals are off, if my environment is not safe, if it's really stressful, then the result is that I become apprehensive and don't end up taking action in the areas that need my attention the most. But when my relationships are strong, when my environment is safe, when my goals are clear, then I really have what I need to make good decisions and be intentional about making good decisions. Because leadership is measured in actions. It's really measured in what's gotten done under your watch. And it's hard for you to take good action, take decisive action if things are off. So in this 2018 Leaders New Year Action Guide, I outlined six phases or six steps to making better decisions and taking better action in 2018. It's a 50-page guide. I chalked a lot of information, a lot of insights, a lot of resources into this guide. And I'm giving it to you away for free. That's right. I'm giving it to you away for free. I really value you as a listener and a supporter. I value you for joining me on this leadership journey. So I want you to download your Leader's Action Guide, prcquinn.com/takeaction18. Completely free. And it's going to walk you through a process for setting yourself up to take greater action in 2018. This is important because a lot of us get caught in the valley of indecision, and the valley of indecision is not a safe place to be. It's the place where dreams die. It's the place where goals fail. It's the place where ambition deteriorates and vision just crumbles because we don't take action and and part of the reason is we don't know how. And the other part is we're just not in a good place to take action. So we wallow in the valley of indecision. So get my 2018 Leaders New Year Action Guide, prcquinn.com/takeaction18. So that's one project that I'm working on. I just want to pause here and just really encourage you. If you're working on projects, get those projects done, get that stuff out there. A good friend of mine, Chris Bartley from the Bartley Group, is working on his book, The Anti-Hero Project. And I'll put that in the show notes. It's an amazing project. I've been talking to Chris about this for a couple of years, and his apprehension has been really trying to work to get it perfect before he puts it out there. Well, I'm excited that Chris is now writing The Anti-Hero Project. He's now writing the book, and you can pre-order his book. You can go to his website at the Bartley.group and see The Anti-Hero Project, see the book there. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. And that's really for those of you who are lost or really struggling on your journey and trying to figure out your life's direction. Maybe you've made some mistakes in the past. Maybe you have some things that you're embarrassed about. Maybe in your own personal story, you've shifted from being the hero to self-sabotage. The Anti-Hero Project, this book will guide you. How do you get out of that cycle and really change your personal narrative? So check that out and look in the show notes for the link to that. And you can go to Bartley.group. That's the website, Bartley.group. So shouts out to Chris for working on that project. And I would just want to push you to get something out. It's still some time left in the end of 2017. Get something out there. Now, this Leaders New Year Action Guide, man, I've been promising people all year that I was going to put something together in terms of direction. And I sat down and I did it. I needed to get it out there. Listen to me. Done is better than perfect. Done is better than perfect. You can always come back and tweak. You can always come back and edit. You can always come back and do a new addition to it. So guys, put some stuff out there. There are people who really need to hear what God really has placed on your heart to do. Some of you are holding back on taking action, holding back on starting ministries, holding back on starting businesses, holding back on the training and resources that you need, holding back on writing the book, holding back on the YouTube channel, holding back on the blog, holding back on the podcast. And you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting the people who need to hear from you. So get it out there. You can correct it. You can tweak it. You can spruce it up. You can modify it later, but get it out there and start today. Start today. Wanted to let you know about another project that I'm working on. Man, I'm just trying to crank it up at the end of this year and going into next year. Going to start a leadership coaching program. Going to tease it at the end of December. So be on the lookout for that. But starting a higher level leadership coaching program in 2018, because my mission, remember, is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. But this other project that I'm working on is a book project. Now, I wrote Leading While Green. You can check that out on my website, prcquinn.com. leadingwildgreen.com/store. And Leading Wild Green is part of my personal leadership journey. And then encouraging emerging leaders who need to grow in their leadership. My second book was Revision, Embracing What Happens Next. It was a 21-day devotional project centered around learning the lessons from your past and then reflecting on how you can use those lessons to move forward in life. And now I'm releasing a new devotional project. It's called Celebrate. Celebrate, finding God when life calls for a party. Part of the reason why I'm releasing this devotional is because the church in which I serve is celebrating 40 years of ministry, fairly young church, but celebrating 40 years of ministry, and really to cause the congregation and our leadership team to reflect on what it means to celebrate. I'm writing this devotional called Celebrate, and I'll start a teaching series called Celebrate, and part of my leadership development and training with my staff will be focused on celebrating. But I also wanted to release the project to anybody else who really wanted to reflect on the milestones of their life and how they can find God in those milestones and really celebrate those milestones. So you can find that on my website, prcquinn.com/store, pre-order the devotional. I want to challenge you to pre-order it by November 25th, and then it'll ship in mid-December in time enough to have it for the new year. And we'll do some videos, a Facebook group, some coaching around this Celebrate book project. But we want to make sure that we get it in your hands. So be sure to check that out. Everything is on my blog. Click on the store to see the books that I've written. If you want to have the Leader's New Year Action Guide, you'll see a banner for that as well. But you can go to prcquinn.com/take action, because we want to put these resources in your hand. This is really important for me because I know a lot of people I've heard of and had conversation about, a lot of people over the years, even many individuals who I have looked up to, who had incredible insights, who had wonderful things to share, but they just didn't write it down. They just didn't write anything down. They didn't leave anything behind as a legacy. And I said, you know, as much as I have influence, as much as I have leadership, as much as leaving a legacy for my family, and I know I talked about that in a previous podcast episode, that I wanted to write things down. I wanted to leave things behind. I wanted to leave some tools and resources behind for the leaders who will come after me, and really to help them grow on their leadership journey. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing. And whatever area of leadership that you're in, I want to challenge you to at least write a guide for successful leadership in that area. And it doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be a 300-page encyclopedia volume. I know some of you are like, encyclopedia, what's that? You know, just, you know, Google it. Encyclopedia was how you used to do research before the internet. It doesn't have to be a huge 300, 400-page volume. It could be something as, you know, a 50-page guide, 25 pages, 10 pages of your insights over the years on how to lead effectively. What would a 10-page guide on effective parenting look like from you? What would a 10-page guide on effective project management look like for you? What would a 10-page guide on effective ministry leadership look like for you? Or even, you know, even greater nuance than that, what a 10-page guide for a successful business, you know, look like for you? And I want to challenge you to write that, to put it down, to get it down, and put it out there so the world can benefit from your experience. Hey, this is all I got for this episode of the Leading Wild Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. Hey, I need a review. I need some reviews from you. A whole bunch of you are listening. Write a review on iTunes. It'll help me get my message to the world. And until next time, take care and God bless.